Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls,
You must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Love is love. And when it hurts, it hurts. It doesn't matter who it's from. It's no different than, you know, you loving, you know, you're the people that love their pet, the way that they love their pets. If something happens to their pets or their pets run away, you know, they experience a deep hurt. And there's no different than, you know, a man hurting you or a woman hurting you. And that was a very quick lesson that I learned that, you know, women and men are no different in terms of the amount of hurt that they could inflict on a person. You know how you look for love in all the wrong places and that person knows you inside and out and knows you're hurting your pain. And then offers you, you know, the $1 million prize on a silver platter, you go, wow, okay, do I take this offer up for the chance of love or do I say no? And I wanted happiness. I wanted to feel what real love felt like. So I slid into it. And before, I mean, and granted, while I was doing it, did I know what I was doing? Absolutely not. Did I lose a lot of friends? Absolutely, yes.
First of all, you got to know what you want. And so if what you want is to just get laid that night and you see somebody you want to get laid and you ask her, does she want to fuck? First of all, it's sexy as hell. Second of all, if that's what she want to do, then you can go on and hook that up. Now, if she's not interested in that, keep it moving. Why waste time? What are you talking about taking me out to coffee and dinner and all of that stuff? That ain't what I'm looking for. And why do I have to be looking for that? You see what I'm saying? So what I want to know, the question I have to pose to Ann, is based on the beginning of the conversation, what is a good woman? I hear all of these generalizations, all of these rationalizations about, you know, a good woman this, a good man that. Men don't know how to court. Courting to me don't start unless a woman know what I want. If she know that I want to fuck, then courting is me leaving from the club and courting her to my bedroom.
One of the things about sex that people need to get straight is, are you going to use it as a weapon or as a tool of power or a reward or something like that? And this is why I am not happy with the Steve Harvey way of doing things, because he suggests that women should use sex as a reward. When a guy does something, then you should do that. And I don't even say that. I say that, you know, even when you're angry with your kids, you feed them. And so even when you're angry with your partner, you should feed them. And for men, feeding them means having sex.
You think it's not okay for men to use women?
We keep going in circles.
So in other words, you're saying, no, it's not okay for
men
to use women.
In other words, I didn't answer that, because that's the third time you keep asking me the same question. We're going in circles.
I'm asking them, when I don't get a straightforward answer, I ask questions repeatedly. It's as simple
okay,
as that.
Then.
I'm asking the question because you're not answering the question. And for whatever reason, I mean, if you're going to have a conversation,
because there's
to
no
answer the question,
to that question.
If you think it's okay for women to use men, but you refuse to answer if you think it's okay for a man to use a woman. That doesn't make, how do you not answer one and not answer the other?
Because I'm allowed to answer whatever I want to answer.
That's the bitch way out.
Alan, if I'm feeling a guy, I want to fuck him.
Oh, say it again.
If I'm feeling a guy, I want to fuck him.
You know, I work with a lot of women who are very successful women. And no matter what they might put out there on the outside, the truth is most of them are actually craving a traditional female-male relationship. I mean, you know, people are heterosexual. I mean, they're usually craving that kind of relationship where they do feel like they have a man that takes the lead. And so I encourage them to give him the signal, because a lot of guys are nervous that they're going to be not rejected as much as, I don't want to say disrespected, but the way that they're rejected, like almost as if they've offended someone by showing them interest. If a man shows me interest, even though I'm in a relationship, I would never take that offensively. I would say, thank you for the compliment, but I'm involved with someone. But I still understand that it's a compliment that they're giving me by being interested. So I'm really telling a lot of women that, you know what, don't be afraid to be the one to kind of let a guy know that you're interested, because a lot of guys out there are just going, I don't know what's about to happen to me if I try to just, like, be really nice or give this woman a compliment or find out if she's available. But then I tell them to kind of, like, hang back a little bit and don't be the one now trying to control the situation. Hang back. You know, give him the go-ahead, and then let him take the lead.
I am the type of person that when I'm looking to date somebody, I'm looking for somebody that I could potentially marry. That's why I've had 3 girlfriends. That's why I've been in Portland for the last 5 years, and there's only one girl that I dated. Like I said, I'm really all about finding my match. So when you talk about finding your match and somebody you can marry, now we're talking about soulmates. And when you're talking about the soul, you're not talking about an exterior. So if you ask me what kind of girl I like, my first descriptions aren't going to be stuff on the outside. Now, looks do matter. But I'm not going to take the finest girl just because she's the finest girl if she don't have the finest heart.
Oh my God, is this A. Allen Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
Gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode 1. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Allen Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Allen Roger Curry.
Allen Roger Curry, the book is entitled Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking.
You're really good at this.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, whatever.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, whatever.
I got nothing but love.
I'm saying, why are sisters
Allen,
overlooking these brothers?
Allen.
Talk to me.
Here's what I say, and here's Allen. It goes back to what I said in the beginning. The media is brainwashing us to be consumers of this negative imagery to black people.
John took swimming pools, bars with stools and stuff, fancy food, lobster, sushi, yeah, Versace, Gucci, crazy Lucci.
First of all, let me just say, I mean, I don't know how to follow up with that wonderful introduction you gave me. You know, that was quite an introduction.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Talking about, hey, boo, how you do? Some clown uptown said you ran through with some crew. I give you props and your credit because it's due, but I ain't that clown and my crew ain't that crew.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Wow. Okay. I'm flattered.
I got nothing but love. I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, whatever.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
But I'm your H-E-A-V, why dazzy? Don't test me, don't ask me for nothing. For Nathan, for Jack, for Doodly Squad, you can do me not. You plan on plotting on who be hot and trying to get the slot.
And the key, when I'm saying keep your balls, I'm not saying that your goal is that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you. And the truth is, women respect that.
And while I'm sleeping, you be creeping, rather be clean. I see you hanging on the corners with the rest of your girl crew, standing by the gutter with your booty cutters. So who's the honey dip? Down with the bunny grip. Always got a plan and a scam to get some money quick.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
Setting up the trap with the sex.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Really?
Wait.
There's a hunchback acting like a rug rat. I know where you're from, that. Who try to gas me, girl? I know the streets well. You're money hungry and you make a trick or treat set. So leave it up to me. I close the whole damn store on you. I got nothing but love.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
You tell us that.
Oh,
girl, you go.
Good night.
More welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and yours truly is celebrating 5 years on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. I started as host of my show on May 29th of 2007, and tonight is May 31st of 2012. So, yes, this is my five-year anniversary celebration show. I've told this story too many times, I'll tell it again. Actually, my initial title was not Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My initial title was Balls Out Talk with Mode 1. Balls Out Talk with Mode 1. That's actually the show that premiered on May 29th of 2007. That was my title for about 3 to 3.5 weeks. And then it was actually on June 28th of 2007 when I modified the title to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And it's been a wonderful 5 years. There's honestly, when I'm thinking about it, I thought about it earlier today, there's not too many career-related activities that I've actually engaged in for 5 years or longer. So this is an achievement for me. I've been an actor, but I've never been a working actor consistently, and say on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis for 5 years or longer. I did stand-up comedy for a while. I did that for about a year and a half. I was a screenwriter and filmmaker in L.A., but again, I wasn't doing that, you know, regularly on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And now I've been a book author since 2006, but, you know, the nature of book author, you'd probably spend more time, I would say, promoting and marketing your books than actually writing the books. Writing your books is not something you do on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. So if you're talking about a career-related activity that I do generally on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, if this was not number one, it's definitely in my top 2 to 3 activities that I've done for 5 years. And it's been a labor of love. I mean, everybody associated with Blog Talk Radio know Blog Talk Radio is not filling up my pockets with cash. So, you know, in order to be a Blog Talk Radio host, you got to really love what you do. And I love what I do. And I love interviewing the various guests that I have. I love having the discussion topics that I have with my open forum discussions. And you know, and I have some extremely loyal, extremely enthusiastic listeners that I have a lot of love and appreciation for, and I give them probably most of the kudos for why I have been around for 5 years is my listeners. I'm sure a lot of them will be making their way into my chat room tonight as the show goes on, but over the last 5 years, I don't have really any criticism of my listeners, because my listeners, many of them have supported me for much longer than I thought many of them would. On certain nights when the episode wasn't that entertaining or wasn't that informative, a lot of them, you know, stayed in my chat room for hours, you know, just either last week or the week before. I had a show that went almost 4 hours, and I had many listeners in the chat room. So, you know, listeners, give it up for yourself. Alan Roger Curry has nothing but love and gratitude for you. Yes, indeed. My listeners, I have love for all my listeners, but particularly my listeners that come on a weekly basis into the chat room, my listeners who come in the phone queue and listen. And, you know, I've had listeners not only in the United States, but I've had listeners in Australia. I've had listeners from the United Kingdom. I've had listeners from Canada. I've had listeners from Mexico. I've had listeners from Brazil. I've had listeners from France. And it's probably about 3 to 5 other countries I'm leaving off just because I can't remember. But, yeah, my listeners have stretched worldwide at times. And I'm really appreciative that the impact of my show has had that type of global reach, that has caused me to have a lot of fans all over the world. Somebody just told me I have listeners in Argentina in the chat room. I appreciate you, Argentina. Yes, I get emails all the time from different men and to a lesser extent women from various countries. I think a lot of that's because of my books. My books, particularly Mode One, has been sold in up to 25 different countries, as well as my latter two paperbacks. And so I think a lot of my book readers found out about the show and they listened to it. And so, yeah, listeners, I'm going to be doing it repeatedly all night, just giving you love, you know, giving you love for supporting me for 5 years. Because I've said this before, some people think being on Blog Talk Radio is not that big a deal, and being on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years is not that big a deal, because Blog Talk Radio, honestly, is not a venue that you get hired for, say, like a broadcast radio station. Broadcast radio station, you usually have to submit your resume, give a demo reel, and be hired into that job as a radio personality, or if you're already popular, a radio station might recruit you. And then you might, at the highest level, you become syndicated. Now, Blog Talk Radio is a format that anyone can start a show on Blog Talk Radio. Anyone can start a show. A homeless man, if he got a computer, can start a show on Blog Talk Radio. And so it's not like you get hired, nor do you get fired if your ratings are low. So that's why I think a lot of people think it's no big deal to be on Blog Talk Radio. But as I've told my listeners and my friends, what the achievement aspect is of me being on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years is that not anyone can have a show on Blog Talk Radio that is highly listened to for 5 years. highly listened to for 5 years. You know, anybody say could get on Blog Durant and have a show where they might have 10 to 15 listeners for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But my show, if I had to, you know, toot my horn, my show has had no less than 80% of my episodes have been ranked in the top three in their category. Most of my shows have been in the category of romance / dating and relationships. I've had a few show episodes that have been in the category of books. I've had a few shows that have been in the episode of self-help. And I've had at least a couple handfuls of episodes that have been in a variety of different categories, such as culture, entertainment, because there's a number of different categories on Blog Talk Radio. Again, my primary category that most of my shows tend to fall under is romance, which is also the dating relationships category. And yes, at least four out of every five episodes I've had have been in the top three. I want to say at least three out of every five episodes have been number one in their category for 5 years running. And so that's what I'm proud about. I'm proud that the caliber of guests I've attracted in a five-year period. I've had arguably one of the highest percentages of high quality, high caliber, well-respected book authors and experts in the field of dating and relationships. I can't think of too many shows. I'm not just talking about on Blog Talk Radio. I'm talking about in any venue, whether it be broadcast radio, satellite radio, or another internet radio format. I don't know too many shows, if any, that have had the number of quality book authors and experts from the dating and relationships genre like Upfront and Straightforward has. And I appreciate all my guests I've had. Now, honestly, I think my long-term listeners know not all of my interviews and discussions ended up great. I mean, as you heard in my opening intro, I was getting into it with at least one guest. There's been at least, I don't know, in 5 years, I want to say there's been probably at least 7, 8, 9 guests that to one degree or another we had a contentious discussion. But that's why people love my show, and I'm basing this on the feedback I get. One of the reasons people love my show is because I keep it real. And I think that's why I give credit to Alan Levy and his Blog Talk Radio format, because this is a format that allows you to keep it real. Because on broadcast radio, you cannot really keep it 100 on broadcast radio. Because, what's up, Sir Cherry? I see you in the chat room. I'm going to throw some love to my chat room in just a second. You can't really get really, really real on broadcast radio because they have to adhere to FCC regulations. You can get real on satellite radio, but your listeners have to pay for it. You have to pay for it just like you pay for cable TV. So Blog Talk Radio kind of gives you kind of the best of both worlds, so to speak, between broadcast radio and satellite radio. It gives you the advantage of broadcast radio because it's free, like broadcast radio is. And it gives you the advantage of satellite radio because there's no language or subject matter restrictions on Blog Talk Radio. And that's why I stuck with Blog Talk Radio, because there's been a couple times, honestly, where people were encouraging me to go to another venue, another format. Because I'll be honest, I hate to say it, no disrespect to Alan Levy, that's the CEO of Blog Talk Radio. If I've had one criticism of Blog Talk Radio, the audio is not always the greatest. I will admit that myself. The audio is not always five-star quality. Sometimes it is, but other times it's not. But this, other than the erratic audio quality on Blog Talk Radio, I don't really have too many complaints about Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio has been good to me. They have helped me build my audience over the last 5 years. That's the other challenge of Blog Talk Radio as opposed to some other radio formats. You know, broadcast radio, sometimes, in most cases, you kind of step into an audience. You just got to be able to hold that audience, but you don't really build them from scratch. Most of the hosts on Blog Talk Radio, they build their audience from scratch. I know I did. Shoot. I mentioned a few times before, my first show, I think I had like about 5 to 10 listeners. I had 5 to 10 live listeners. So, you know, since then, I've had probably over 100,000 people listen to my show. And I'm really appreciative of that. And now I'm going to give some chat room love. Somebody was squabbling in my chat room. Y'all can't mess up my mood. Don't be squabbling. That happens on my show sometimes. But, you know, see, that's one thing about my listeners. Just like I said, one of the things that a lot of people love and respect about me as a host is that I keep it real. My listeners keep it real. And sometimes they keep it too real to the point if one person has a strong opinion and another listener has a strong opinion, they tend to clash. But I invite strong opinions. I love strong opinions by my guests. I love strong opinions by the listeners who call in. And, of course, I like to express strong opinions. Excuse my voice. It feels like it's getting strained all of a sudden. I give love to my loyal listener, Adrian Diva 362636. She's arguably my number one most loyal listener over the last 5 years. I've known Adrian since 1997, and she's been at, I can't say she's been at every show, but she's been at probably somewhere between 90 to 95% of my shows. I think she's listened to all my shows, either live or archived. She's listened to a handful just as an archive, but as far as listening to it live, she's listened to no less than 90% of my episodes. So much love to her. Someone who's never in my chat room, but he's always listening in my phone queue would actually be a brother I grew up with, known since junior high school, and that would be Irvin V. Pulliam III. We call him EVP3 or Match 1. He's listened to probably 90 to 95% of my episodes over the last 5 years. Whenever I start a show, I look at my phone queue. He's there like 9 out of every 10 times or maybe 19 out of every 20 times. He's in my phone queue listening to my show. And so I appreciate him. Yes, love and light, my voice did get a little hoarse, so I'm going to have to drink some water or something. That's just my excitement, and there was a little change in the weather today. In my chat room, I see Sir Cherry. I see Love and Light, Lord Lust, Intimate Discussions, Hitman 502005. I see a couple of guests. I see Claudio Robello. I see just a number, 46526. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. As I continue some of my shout-outs, Hyper, he's not in the chat room right now, but he was one of my loyal listeners. I haven't seen him in a few months, actually, now, but Hyper, he used to have the ranking of my number one chat room listener before Diva took it over. He would always be in my chat room. I give a shout-out to a gentleman named Nohad in Canada. Nohad, on his own, has almost worked as an informal booking agent for me. He's helped me book at least 20 to 25% of my guests. He will write people for me on his own. I mean, I'm not paying him to do this. He's been a big fan of my book, and we just connected. He lives in, I want to say, Toronto. I can't remember if it was Toronto or Montreal. I think it's Toronto. And, yeah, he's helped find me, I want to say, at least 20 to 25% of my guests. So much love and respect to Nohad. A lot of love, of course, to my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, he hasn't caught as many shows as some other people, but he was the one when I first started, gave me a lot of feedback. Because, man, if you heard some of those early episodes of Balls Out Talk with Mo 1, man, ain't they just That's why you don't even see him in the archive section, because some of them is just so bad. And but yeah, he drilled me on a few of those episodes, and you know, helped me become more fluid, because a lot of times I just tend to wing it on a lot of these discussions. And when you're winging it, the thing about winging it on radio, that's when you tend to insert all those ums and. So he helped me in that area. And also, he helped me focus. I think that was the thing that turned my show around, was focusing on dating relationships, because only a handful of my close friends know. But when I first started my show, actually, it was not specifically focused on dating and relationships. To give you the backstory, and I've given this probably every year I do an anniversary show. Here's kind of the quick backstory of how I came to be on Blog Talk Radio. I actually came to this format on someone else's show, a guy who I've had an up-and-down relationship with, honestly. Our friendship, we've been cool some years and some months, and other months we've not spoken because we've just had major falling outs. But I'll go ahead and give him a certain degree of credit. Steve the Dean Williams, who's actually been on Blog Talk Radio just as long, if not longer than I have. I met him through cyberspace in fall of 2006. And we used to do a podcast program, just me and him, called the Black Book Cafe, where we talk about issues related to my book. And he had a show on, I knew Intimate Discussions with Yanni Brown. Yanni Brown, I don't know if you got to hear your clip at the beginning, but you're included. So when you hear it on the archives, I guess you're actually my very opening clip. I got a series of clips. But yeah, I came to Blog Talk Radio with Steve the Dean Williams. He had a show called Men on Dating, and I came to Blog Talk Radio. I was kind of a permanent guest host on his show. That was in mid-April of 2007. And then we had a falling out on the show. It was the weirdest thing. I don't want to get into all the details. I don't want to rehash that. But we actually fell out on one of his episodes, because he made a blanket criticism against all black women that I disagreed with. I've never been a brother. Anybody who knows me knows I criticize women equally. I criticize white women, Asian women, Hispanic women, black women. I just look at women as women. I think all of them have their strengths and their flaws, just like I feel about men, you know. And so you're never going to hear me say all black women are this, all black women are that. And he made one of those comments, and I didn't like it. And so, you know, we had a falling out. And then a couple weeks later, that's when I decided to start my own show. And like I said, it was initially called Balls Out Talk with Mo 1. Again, that premiered on May 29th of 2007. For 3 weeks, I actually had two shows a week. I used to do an afternoon show, a half-hour afternoon show on Tuesdays, and then a one-hour show on Thursdays at 11 o'clock Central Time. 12 midnight Eastern, and that lasted for about three and a half weeks, and then I wanted to get promoted on the main page, because they would promote only a handful of shows on the main page. So I asked, how can I get promoted on the main page? And the woman who worked for Blog Talk Radio at the time, I can't remember her name, but she said, Alan, she said, I've listened to your shows. She said, the thing about it, you just talk to your listeners. She said, what I think will get you promoted is if you invite some guests, if not all the time, at least half the time, invite guests on your show. And she said, you got to change your name. She said, we will not promote your show on the main page as long as it's called Balls Out Talk. So that's when I changed it to Upfront and Straightforward. But again, even after I changed it to Upfront and Straightforward, it was not specifically related to dating relationships. I tried to invite a number of people. I'm not going to even tell you the names of the people I tried to invite. Okay, I'll tell you one name. Like, I invited Tony Dungy after he won the Super Bowl, and his people said, basically, in a nice way, they was like, we've never heard of you, dude. We've never heard of you. I invited all these Hollywood celebrities that just turned me down. And honestly, and some people already noticed, I was about to quit. I was about to quit, because what happened, around August of 2007, I was doing my show, and like 3 weeks in a row, I had a guest flake on me. The worst thing when you do a talk radio show and you're inviting guests is to have a guest flake on. I had one guest flaked on me literally 5 minutes before my show was about to start. She called me on the cell, or I think either called me or sent me a text message. I can't remember. But it's literally like 5 minutes before the show was about to begin. She said she couldn't make it. And then two other guests, they flaked maybe like a day before the show or 2 days before the show. And then I was getting these rejections from all these high-profile people I was sending out invitations to. So honestly, yeah, around mid-August, I just said, fuck it. I said, fuck it. I was about to be a quitter. I said, yep, I'm not going to do any more shows. So I scratched up. I said, you know, it was fun. Well, it briefly lasted, but forget it. And I always give these two Blog Talk Radio personalities credit. Is Dangerous Lee, a lot of you won't be familiar with Dangerous Lee. She's an old head Blog Talk Radio host. And Dr. Blockstein, he was on for a long time. Now, he's not on anymore, but he was on for about 3 to 4 years on Blog Talk Radio. He had the top-rated show in the category of comedy. It's called Dr. Blockstein. He's a guy. His real name is David. He's based in New York. And they added chat rooms to Blog Talk Radio around late September, early October. And they sent me an email saying that they had added chat rooms. So I was curious how that would look, because when I first started, they didn't have chat rooms. And so I came on to Dangerous Lee's show to listen to her show. And Dr. Blockstein was in the chat room. And he said, hey, Alan. And I said, hey. And we kind of, you know, was just small talking through the chat room. And he asked me about my show. And I told him, I said, dude, I quit. I said, I had all these guests flaking on me. And other guests were rejecting my invitations. I said, forget it. And he said, no, man. He said, I heard your show. He said, your show was very professional. And I really appreciate him saying that. He said, I heard your show. He said, your show sounded very professional. He said, you only had about two or three shows. But he said, the show, what I heard, he said, you didn't sound like an amateur. You sound like you were a radio veteran. He said, in my opinion, I think you should continue doing your show. And then Dangerous Lee, she was actually doing a show at the time, and she echoed his sentiment. She said, yeah, Alan, I've heard your show too. And she said, you sound real good on your show. She said, you sound, you know, like a black Charlie Rose. And I love Charlie Rose. I don't know if y'all know who Charlie Rose is. And so both of them were giving me a lot of love, a lot of encouragement. And so Dr. Blockstein, he said, hey, if you got guests flaking on you, get a co-host. Either get a co-host or have backup guests. But he said, don't stop doing your show. And so that's when I decided to keep going. So I got re-energized. And because I didn't do any shows from mid-August of 2007 through early January, I didn't do any shows. And I started my show back the second week in January, that second Thursday in January of 2008. And that's when I made the decision to focus specifically on dating and relationships, because that's what my books are related to. So I said, what the heck? I might as well just focus on, because that's the thing about Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is very, if you're a regular listener of Blog Talk Radio, you know this show, this venue is very niche-oriented. It's not for general interest. If you want general interest, you could go listen to broadcast radio or something else. But Blog Talk Radio is very niche-oriented, meaning that if you have a specific interest, like, say, cleaning your house, there's shows on here for cleaning your house. If you want to get more knowledge about taking care of your lawn, there's shows on Blog Talk Radio about taking care of your lawn. If your thing is health and fitness, there's shows on Blog Talk Radio about health and fitness. There's shows on Blog Talk Radio for almost every single interest that you can think of. And so I said, I'm going to be specific. I'm going to invite nothing but dating and relationships related people, and even more specifically than that, I wanted to focus on singles. Even though I've had quite a few episodes that have emphasized couples and married couples, but at least two-thirds of my episodes have usually been geared towards enlightening singles. I wanted to make my show more so for people who are dating singles. That's why when you hear my intermission, the thing says, I say, single, lonely, confused, join me. And there's a reason why I say that. That's not just, you know, some dialogue in the script. There's a lot of people out here, men and women, who are single, lonely, confused, and frustrated with today's dating scene. And I wanted to help these men and women out. I felt like I would offer my own brand of knowledge and wisdom and expertise. And for any area that was beyond my scope of knowledge, wisdom, and expertise, I would bring on a guest who had more knowledge, wisdom, and expertise in that particular area than I did. And it's worked out great. It's worked out great for 5 years. And, you know, I live by my theme, upfront and straightforward. My listeners know that anytime I've had a guest on here that has been, for lack of a better term, full of shit, I have called them out. And my listeners know that. I don't let everybody just get away with being a good guest. If you come on my show as a guest and you start spitting out knowledge and wisdom that I think is contradictory, invalid, just generally full of shit, I say that. I call, and that's why some of my interviews have been contentious to one degree or another. But, yeah, I like people who are all about honesty. That's the biggest aspect I'm all about in life in general, particularly as it relates to dating relationships, is I think men and women need to be more upfront and straightforwardly honest with one another. I see some people on my phone queue that want to say some things. I'm going to get to you, 614-832-773. If anybody wants to call in and say something, ask a question or make a comment, please press the number 1. That lets me know that you want to say something. And then I'll pick up the line. But first, I'm going to do this intermission break. I'm going to do an intermission break, but when I get back, I'm going to start taking phone calls from my listeners again. I love all my listeners. Well, actually, before I go to intermission break, there's some people that came in my chat room that were not in here when I first gave my shout-out. So, again, let me give shout-outs to Diva, 362636. That's Adrian, the biggest female sports fan in the entire world. Apple Capital Group, Claudio Ravello, 46526, a number of guests, Hitman, 502005, Gina, Holistic Life Design. She was a guest on my show, talked about tantric sex. She enlightened my listeners, tantric sex. For those that don't know about tantric sex, it's a lot of details to it, but in a nutshell, that's when you have sex without focusing specifically on the orgasm. So if I was to have sex with a woman and try to avoid ejaculating, that would be tantric sex. And her and a friend of hers named Karen Armstrong, they were a guest about, I want to say, roughly 3 years ago. I see my younger cousin in the chat room, Christopher Curry. He's been a loyal listener. My cousin has been a very loyal listener of mine, Christopher Curry, a.k.a. Hypestyle. Yanni is in my chat room, Intimate Discussions. Yanni, her claim to fame, she is the only female guest I've ever had on my show 3 times. I've had her on my show 3 times. There's only like 3 or 4 people I've actually had on my show 3 or more times. The most person I've had on my show is a gentleman named David X. He's been on my show 5 times. A guy named Sasha Daygame has been on my show 4 times. And Yanni has been on my show 3 times. And who else do I see in the chat? Lord Lust, Love and Light, Sir Cherry. So I'm going to take a quick intermission break right now, and then I'll be back. And like I said, I'm going to take some phone calls from my listeners. So Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my first name.
Okay. Yeah, well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chat girls on the street.
Yeah.
Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site. And
stop being a fucking... Just... what? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my celebration of my 5-year anniversary on Blog Talk Radio on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to my 5th year anniversary celebration episode. If you're just tuning in, yes, I've been on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network for 5 years, which only, I don't know the exact number, exact percentage, but I know it's low. There's not too many people who've been around for 5 years. I would say there's not too many hosts on Blog Talk Radio that have been around for even 3 years or longer, let alone 5 years or longer. And as I started off talking about people who try to criticize and say, oh, anybody can be on Blog Talk Radio, people who are hosts, and I'm going to talk to another host in a little bit. He's on. I see him in my phone queue. Do you know there have been celebrities who have had shows on Blog Talk Radio that have bombed? I'm not going to call them out because I don't want to disparage them. But I know of at least 5, 6, 7, like, people, you know, not like major celebrities, like on nobody on Tom Cruise level, but people who were like had a name for themselves that came on Blog Talk Radio, and their show was popular for maybe a few weeks, maybe even a few months, but then it fizzled out. There are people who were popular on broadcast radio. I know of at least 8 to 10 people who came on Blog Talk Radio from a broadcast, who either were still on a broadcast radio station at the time they were on Blog Talk Radio, or they had just left a broadcast radio. And these are people who were pretty popular on their respective broadcast radio stations, that when they came on Blog Talk Radio, they did not do well. I know one particular woman from Chicago. She was a popular personality in Chicago radio. She came to Blog Talk Radio, and man, her show was low. It was a low ranked. So I just said that to say that for those who try to suggest that, quote unquote, anybody can have a good show on Blog Talk Radio, it is true that anybody can have a show on Blog Talk Radio, but not anybody can have a show that's highly listened to. I mean, that's true of anything in the entertainment industry. Like, anybody can make a movie. If you got some money to make a movie, anybody can make a movie. The question is, will people watch it? If you got the money to produce a TV show pilot, you can produce a TV show pilot. But the question is, will it be picked up by a network or a cable network? You know, same with making an album or a CD if you're a singer or a musician. Anybody can make a CD. The question is, will people listen to that CD? So, and it's the same with talk radio.
I've just been blessed again to have some great listeners, some great guests, and some great friends. Speaking of great friends, my very best friend, I see him in the phone queue, a gentleman by the name of Maurice. He lives in Indianapolis. We've been close friends since kindergarten. And, yeah, he's always given me a lot of support and encouragement. But I'm going to go to phone lines. Well, before I go to phone lines, let me see if anybody came in the chat room that I might have missed. I still see 46526, Apple Capital Group, Claudio Robello, Adrian, Diva 36. Adrian, man, you know, I was telling her earlier, I love her to death. She's one of my closest female friends in the world. But, man, she talks shit like a dude. You know how dudes talk shit to do with sports? That's how she is, man. That's what cracks me up about her. She talks shit like a dude, like when it comes to sports shit talking. Oh, man, she's a Ohio State Buckeye alum, so she loves the Buckeyes. I graduated from Indiana University, and so we always talk about Hoosiers versus Buckeyes. Then in NBA, she's a Miami Heat fan. I'm a Bulls fan. But anyway, I love her to death because she keeps it real. I included a clip with her in my opening audio clips. Eddie Barbosa, a number of guests, Hitman, Gina, a.k.a. Holistic Life Designs, Yanni Brown, one of the top relationship experts in, definitely in the Chicago area. If you live in the Chicago area, you don't know who Yanni Brown is, just go to the mirror right now and just slap yourself. Just slap yourself for being in a cave if you don't know who Yanni Brown is. She's one of the six brown chicks, and I love her to death because she keeps it real. So I try to only invite guests on my show who keep it real. I hate phony guests. I got Jay Works in my show. I think that might be my young cousin from Chicago. I'm not sure. Jay Works. A lot of my cousins have supported my show. Christopher Curry in Detroit. J.P. Jones in Chicago. Lord Lust and Love and Light. Now I'm going to hit the phone, and I see I was just talking about Diva and her trash talk style. What's up? What's up, you sports trash talker, you?
Why you always got to talk shit about me, man?
Why you always... See, as you said that, listen, it's like one of the brothers was like, hey, why you got to talk shit? You motherfucker and shit? No, Adrian, you've been with me from the get-go. Friends for, shoot, about 15 years, going on 15 years, So as I do every anniversary show, and let you know, listen, she calls in pretty much every anniversary show. For this particular season, 2011-2012 season, what has been a show or two that sticks out in your mind on the positive end, and you felt like you might have learned a lot, it was a great discussion. And then, obviously, on the flip side, maybe one or two shows. I already know one show where I already told you, I included you in an audio clip where she so classically tells my guests, that's the bitch way out. So, yes, Adrian, commentary on shows you've listened to this season.
Well, obviously, that one was a classic. There's always one that I'm involved in, it seems like, every year where there's some controversy going on, and I'm getting into it with some of your guests. I need to stop doing that.
No, you need to keep doing it more, because every time I go back and listen to it, usually at the time I'll realize you saying something that's a classic quote. And then definitely when I go back, I say, oh, boy, Adrian was in rare form again. Because you just don't. See, I like your style because, you know, my show is upfront, straightforward. You just, when somebody pisses you off, you don't mince words and you don't sugarcoat. I ain't going to even say what you said about one of my guests on Facebook and her book. I mean, I was like, whoa. if listeners, if you don't know what show that was, you know, like she said, every year there's usually at least one, and sometimes many as three or four, what I would call contentious shows where it gets heated. One show this season that was in that category, I mean, not too many compared to some other seasons, but there's at least two shows I can think of this season 2.5. One was I had this woman who wrote this book called, I'm forgetting her book.
It was something Gold Digger's Guide.
That's what it is. A Gold Digger's Guide. Her name was Beige Fletcher.
Beige
Fletcher. Now, here's what's funny. I started out actually giving this woman props. I heard about her book from somebody on Facebook. Then I'm getting the book. And the way, if you read the book, the way the book starts, it's actually not a bad read at the beginning. Because she seems like she's pretty mode one. She's sound like she was saying she approaches men and lets them know straightforwardly that she wants them to do financial favors for her. And see, that's where I wouldn't have a criticism. If you're a woman and say you want guys to do financial favors for you and you're upfront and straightforward about that, I have no criticism against you whatsoever. Here's where she started losing me on two accounts. One, she dogs out guys in her book for pursuing women just for sex, but yet she pursues men just for financial favors. And I was like, okay, that's inconsistent. Why are men disgusting for pursuing women just for sex, but it's okay for you to pursue men just for their financial resources? So that was one strike. And then the second thing, as you read her book, it turns out as she tells more stories, she's not as upfront and straightforward as I originally thought she was, as she originally portrays herself at the beginning of the book. She actually manipulates guys. She gives them the impression that she's going to possibly date them or have sex with them. And then once they do a couple of financial favors for her, she would dump them. And I was just like, that's wrong. I feel the same way about a man who does that with sex. Anybody who knows me and familiar with my books knows I am not a fan of a guy who will give a woman the impression that he wants to date her, wants to have a long-term relationship with her, when in reality he just wants casual sex. I say if you want casual sex, say that from the get-go. And again, going back to Beige, if you just want money from a guy, say that from the get-go. Anyway, during the show, I kept asking her a couple questions that she like refused to answer. And I'm the type, if you're a guest of mine, and I ask you a question, you refuse to answer, I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to either ask you the very exact same question, or I might modify it a little bit and ask you a variation of the question. And she started getting frustrated, saying I was asking her the same question. I'm like, because you're not answering. That's when Adrian, who's on the line, chimed in and said, if you answer this damn question, he quit asking you the same question. And she said something like, I'm not going to answer it because it's my, what did she say? It's my choice not to or something to that
effect. It's not to answer it. Because I said, well, if you agree to be interviewed, then that means you agree to answer questions. And so how do you come on and criticize a man for going after a woman who's a gold, a man basically being, it wasn't okay for a man to be a gold digger, but it was okay for a woman to be. And I asked her to explain that position, and she didn't want to answer the question. And so I told her she said she didn't have to. That was her prerogative not to, so I told her she was taking the bitch way out.
She sure did. Yeah. Yeah. I actually uploaded excerpts of that on YouTube, and somebody gave you some kudos. And somebody said, I love that Adrian. Yeah, she said. But, yeah, Adrian's been featured in a few of my heated shows, going back to season one when we did the show Angry Black Women.
Yeah.
You and Steve Dean Williams got into it about something.
Well, I think this year has been one of my favorite years in terms of the topics that you've had. You've had a lot of great topics, and I know it's probably very challenging after 5 years to try to come up with new topics that you haven't discussed, because if you're doing, you know, a show per week for 9 to 10 months out of the year, that's 40 to 50 different topics that you have to come up with. So some of my favorites, the Act Like a Man, Think Like a Lady episode was a good one, because we had a lot of lively chats going on in the chat room.
Yeah, as of right now, actually, that is my most listened to episode of this season, of the 2011-2012. Yeah, more people listened to that episode and downloaded that episode than any other episode this season. And I didn't even have a, particular guest for that, did I?
No, that was just kind of an open forum where we talked. You did have, you had one because we, there was an author that you had, but we talked about Steve Harvey's book and if that book helped you in your relationships, and if not that book, a book, another book that may have helped you or you thought was just totally off base. Another one that I thought, several of them, the one about ignoring the red flags, women who have sex on the first date, and then my favorite, the generalizations, that was a pretty lively topic in the chat room as well that night.
Yeah, now, see, it's another show that surprised. There's some shows I expect to have a lot of listeners, and then there's other shows I, I'm surprised sometimes when and well, since I have you on the line and I'm giving love to my listeners, one thing I will say about Adrian, listeners, because I want to say she was one of the first ones who actually encouraged me to do what's called my open forum discussion episodes, because initially I just wanted almost every episode to have a guest on it. And Adrian, she told me one day, and this wasn't me just trying to be modest, but I tended to believe early on that most of the shows I had the most listeners for were because of my guests, you know. And Adrian, she said, no. You know, I love a lot of your guests, but people tune in for you, Alan. They, you know, I think one of the first shows that happened where I was kind of pleasantly surprised was I had this guest. Well, I really don't want to say his name because now I feel like I'm disparaging him. This is a guy who'd been on Oprah. He wrote this book about cheating. And he was actually one of my first guests to leave early. And at the moment he left, I just knew my chat room was just going to just dwindle down within a matter of seconds. I think at the time it might have been, I don't know, 25, 30 people in the chat room. And I was just expecting over the next 5 minutes that it was going to go from, say, 30 people to maybe five or six. And 90% of the people stayed in the chat room for like the next 45 minutes to next hour, because I actually ended up dogging them out.
I remember that.
And it was after that show, that's when Adrian, because I was telling her, I said, hey, I was surprised that people stuck around. And she said, people stuck around because they like listening to you, Alan. You're the draw. Don't get it twisted. Don't think that your guest is the draw. It's you who's the draw. And so taking that piece of encouraging advice, that's when I said, well, I'm going to try some open forum discussion topics. And when I do that, I don't have a particular guest. Now, I might invite certain people who might have experienced a certain thing related to, I don't know, like if I have an open forum discussion about date rape, I might send out some fillers and ask women who've been, might have been date raped to come on the show and talk about it. But they're not really what I would call an invited guest, like, say, like a book author or expert. And so I've had people call in, but yeah, anyway, a lot of those shows, those type of episodes, the open forum discussion episodes, have been a lot more, they've had a lot more listeners than I anticipated. And one of them was the one Adrian mentioned, which was, I had one last fall called, I'm going back and looking at my lineup. Valid versus invalid generalizations of men and women. That was on October 20th of last fall. And yes, that had a lot of listeners. And let me just quickly, if you don't mind, Adrian, I'm going to quickly give off all the shows I've done since the last anniversary show, which was on June 2nd last year. I did my fourth anniversary. So starting with the show after that, I interviewed a guy named Don Suave. I consider him kind of a protege. He promotes being direct and approaching women in a very direct manner. He was on my show June 9th of last summer. Then I had a open forum discussion topic, Closet Freaks, Disingenuous Prudes, and Sexual Hypocrites. It had a lot of listeners. I had another show called the Slut Walk Protest Marches. That was on June 23rd of last summer. June 30th, I had a guest named Lorna Clark Osunsanmi. No, I mispronounced her last name. She was good. She was good. She did this fake orgasm towards the end of the show, similar to like Meg Ryan in When Harry Met Sally, and it was, oh my God, it was very believable. Yeah, that was the highlight of that episode. Then I had Is Common Sense Common, an interview with Taz Daddy. Taz Daddy actually used to be a popular Blog Talk Radio host. He has since, he doesn't do his show anymore on Blog Talk Radio. I think he does his on another venue now. And he's also done broadcast radio in the Philadelphia area. And that was a good interview, a lot of listeners. Then I had my season finale last year on July. Always in mid-July, that's when I usually go on my two-month hiatus. So I had – now, that was interesting. Adrian, do you remember my season finale last year? There was something interesting that happened.
Was that the lady that –
No, it was actually a guy. It was a guy.
A guy
named Tony Gaffin. To refresh your memory, he was the first guy – I want to say, I don't think I had anybody before him, and if I did, I'm forgetting. But he was the first guy. You know how a lot of times when I have a guest, I'll ask them to say mode one, and then they say mode one.
He hung up.
He refused to say it.
And
he hung up,
yes.
I said, bro, say mode one for him. He said, hey, my man, you know, I, with all due respect, I can't say that. I said, why not? He said, man, that would drop my swag quotient.
Yes, I remember that, and he hung up the phone.
I couldn't believe. No, he didn't hang up the phone immediately. What happened, you know why he hung up the phone, because your buddy, me and Adrian both know a guy who's called in my show a lot. His name is Jason Barnes, nickname 6ix9ine. Jason called in and let this guy have it. Told him he was on a high horse, because basically he said all this. I don't want to dog out the brother, but he was. He started kind of dogging out men. He was like, for lack of a better term, he's playing the role of Captain Sabaho. And he was making all men look like the bad guys and all women look like these innocent victims. And, yeah, Jason, who had his own show on Blog Talk Radio, Jason called in and just tore him a new one. And he just hung up. He hung up. So, yeah, that was my season finale last summer. Then my first show of the fall was Dr. Veronica Anderson. She took an interesting stance. Most women are often told don't have sex on the first date. She was actually telling women to have sex on the first date. She said if you really feel in a guy and you have great chemistry, her main belief was don't waste 6 months, 9 months, a year getting to know a guy only to find out, say, a year later that he's going to suck in bed. And sure enough, a couple of women called into the show saying that happened to them. I know one woman in particular, she said she had dated a guy for like 2 years. She was celibate. And then once they got married and started having sex, she said that sex was horrible.
Yeah, I remember her.
And she ended up getting a divorce. Next show was Men's Clothing and Grooming and Style Tips with a woman I met actually in Los Angeles. Her name was Kim Seltzer. So she gave a lot of tips on how men could dress better and, you know, just cut the hair, stuff related to grooming. Then if you saw the movie Love and Other Drugs with Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway, the guy who wrote the book that movie was based on, his name was Jamie Reedy. And that was the third show of the fall. And, yeah, he was interesting. He wrote this book where he just dogged out being a pharmaceutical rep and wondered why he got fired. Now, here was my first somewhat contentious of this new season. The next episode was a show called Are You Ignoring Red Flags? There's these three women in Southern California that wrote a book called The Little Black Book of Big Red Flags. And I interviewed two of the three female authors, one named Natasha, another one named Megan. Now, Megan was cool. Megan was the second one I interviewed. Our interview went fine, but Natasha, they had a section in their book. Most of the book was good, and I told them both that. 90% of the book I thought was actually a good book. There was like two or three things in the book I disagreed. One, though, everybody knows I love I love to talk dirty to women. I love, that's my M.O. Adrian knows that. Hey, most women and men who listen to this show, they know that. And they had a section in their book that said that two things. One, that if a guy talks dirty to you on the first date, that's just totally inappropriate. And secondly, it means more than likely you're a selfish lover. So I brought that up to Natasha. I told her that I disagree with it. And when I first said it, it was very lighthearted, you know. But she started going off on me when I told her that I talk dirty to a lot of women. She was saying that was disrespectful. And where we really got contentious, I hate when people do this. And if you ever watch the Bill Maher show on HBO, Bill Maher, I know he's one host who, this is one of his top pet peeves, is when people make up their own statistics. Do not make up your own statistics. You know, when I want to speak for people other than me, I might say the vast majority of men love sports, or a good number of men love casual sex. But you're not going to hear me say 89.8% of men in this country love NFL football, unless I've conducted a survey that arrived at that percentage. And she said 99% of all women do not want men talking dirty to them. I went the fuck off on her when she said that comment. And so, yeah, that was like about a 10-minute stretch during that interview where me and her went at it. And then the second thing she said that was the truth, she said, Alan, if you ask me, I think you deserve to be slapped. And I said, you need to be fucked.
Yeah.
Then the next show was Valid versus Invalid Generalizations, as Adrian mentioned earlier. That ended up being a good show. That was an open forum discussion. I remember the chat room. The men and the women in the chat room were exchanging their generalizations. A lot of men were saying generalizations that they felt were valid towards women. The women were saying their generalizations they felt were valid towards men. And a lot of people called in, and we had a good discussion. What else? After that was the Naughty Bucket List with Courtney Jason. Now, that ended up having some controversy. Not so much during the show, but again, I love to talk dirty. I love a lot of times to use X-rated language. And a lot of times when I have female guests, I will lightheartedly tell them that I don't want them to say having sex or making love. I want them to use the word fucking. So during that interview with Courtney Jason, I had her, she would always be tempted to say having sex. I said, no, Courtney, you got to say having fuck it. You got to say fuck it. And she would giggle and say, okay, fucking. And I didn't think nothing of it during the show, but what happened was my guest who was supposed to be on that following week, and get this, the guest who was supposed to be on the following week had written a book about talking dirty. It was called The Nice Girl's Guide to Talking Dirty. And her and Courtney had the same publicist. So after that show, their publicist wrote me and said, Alan so-and-so, I can't remember her name, will not be coming on your show next week. And I was like, why not? And she said, well, she felt like you did a lot of X-rated dirty talk to Courtney Jason, and she wasn't really liking it, so she just decided not to do it. I'm like, wait a minute. She wrote a book on talking dirty, and yet she has a problem with me talking dirty. And I was basically like, yes. I was just like, whatever. So, yeah, I had a guest cancel out because she thought I was too X-rated. So, anyway, I ended up getting another guest. I did a show called The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. That was a good show. Then I did another episode about polyamorous dating. Now you were talking about me running out of topics. There's quite a few topics I've done, not only more than once, but probably some topics I've done four or five times with different guests, of course. This is a topic I've done at least four or five times, is stuff to do with. Matter of fact, I did two shows this season about polyamorous dating. This one was on November 17th, and I did one just about 3 weeks ago. Next episode, Single Sisters in the Big Cities. Now, that was a good show. I don't know if you remember that. That's when I had a young lady named Deanna Burrell. She's from Chicago, and she wrote this book called Single Girl Summer.
Yes, I read the book.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. We ended up going 3 hours, had a lot of people call in. That was actually one of my top three, top four shows where I had the most call-in listeners. But, yeah, that was a good episode. We spent probably the first half, the first two-thirds of the show talking about her book, things related to her book. Then we just started talking about the subject of wining and dining, because I had a couple of male callers call in and talked about how they didn't want to spend big money on a woman when they go out on a date, and the women, of course, had a reaction to that. Then the next episode I had of this season was on December 8th. I had A Man's Ego versus A Woman's Emotions with a guy named Corey Jenkins. He does a TV dating relationship show. Well, not, it's not on network TV or cable TV. It's like on like internet TV. It's called The Mail Room, M-A-L-E Room, Corey Jenkins. We had a pretty good discussion. Then another open forum discussion that ended up having a lot of listeners because talking dirty was such a controversial subject last fall. I did a show called Erotic Dirty Talk, Love It, Hate It, Indifferent. Excuse me. And that ended up being like in my top three most listened to open forum discussion episodes. Different male listeners and female listeners gave their opinion on the just general subject of talking dirty. Then I had a woman named Jen Clark, How to Become a Goddess. That was a pretty good episode. We disagreed on, I remember, on a couple things. I can't remember off the top of my head. But overall, she was a... Then the next episode, a little controversy too, I had a guy flake out on me. I hadn't had a guest flake out on me in a long time. I was supposed to have a guest, a guy who was the former bodyguard of Eminem, the rapper Eminem. He had written a book about call from womanizer to husband or something to that effect. And he ended up flaking out on me. He didn't call me or anything, didn't email me. So I ended up just spontaneously turning the show into feedback from listeners. And Adrian, I want to say you contributed heavily to that episode.
Was that my number one show?
Yeah, I might as well call that the Alan and Adrian show because, yeah, I give it to you. You saved my butt that show because I was pissed, man. I tried not to show it during my show, but, yeah, he ended up apologizing about a month and a half later. He sent me a note on Twitter apologizing, but, I mean, he could at least send me a note that night. But, yeah, I had to wing it, and so I turned it into a feedback from listeners. Next episode was a young guy wrote a book called Don't Be a Pussy. And I couldn't resist that title, so I had him on the show. And, of course, we talked about men, don't be a pussy. Next episode, Sex 3.0 in the 21st Century. That was a guest I had from Australia named J.J. Roberts. He was a good guy. Then the next show was Women Feeling Pressured to Get Married. Then I had Making Love Better with Yanni Brown. Again, she's my only female guest that's been on my show 3 times. Then I had another show that was really listened to, Do Dating Workshops Really Help Men? That was Sasha Daygame. He's the guy who organized the Direct Dating Summit in London and in Las Vegas. I participated in both of those. He also had a third one in Australia. I did not participate in that one. But, yeah, he's been on my show. That was his 4th time on my show. And, that was one of my most listened to show by live listeners. Actually, that's my 2nd most listened to episode ever by live listeners. Then I had an entertaining former couple. I talked about online dating success and horror stories. I had this used to be couple from Washington, D.C. Do you remember that show, Adrian?
I do.
Yeah, that was an entertaining show. What was entertaining about that show, they used to date, and obviously they used to fuck, and then the woman's new boyfriend called in the latter third of the show.
Right.
So I just felt like that was interesting. She was on the line with the guy she was currently fucking and the guy she most recently used to fuck.
Yeah.
And some people might say, well, what's so awkward about that? I've been around two ex-girlfriends or two ex-boyfriends, but I bet you wasn't talking about fucking with both of them. Well, maybe you might have. But, I mean, we were talking about sex. We were talking about their sex lives. So imagine you the guy, you the woman's current guy, but she was talking about how her old guy put it down. She's like, oh, yeah, he had some good dick. He used to fuck me real good. Then the new guy came on. Man, that was just wild, man.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was a wild show. Then, of course, the next show after that was the infamous Beige Fletcher episode. She ended up being the fourth guest to end the interview early. I've had four guests in the last 5 years that have ended the show early. First guest, I already mentioned, well, I didn't mention by name. Well, since they hung up on me, what the heck? I ain't going to be all nice. I'm going to call them out by name. First guest was a guy named M. Gary Newman. M. Gary Newman. That was the guy who, he was scheduled to be on my show for an hour and a half, and he left after about an hour and 5 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes. And that's when I thought everybody was going to leave my chat room. But to my surprise, everybody stayed. I literally spent like the next 45 minutes just sadly just dogging him out. Well, Agent, actually, you guys dogged him out first.
Was he the one that wrote the book about daughters and didn't have any daughters?
No, that's another guy. No, Anthony, that was a guy named Anthony. He didn't leave the show early. No, this guy, he wrote a book about cheating. And what I think happened, he never confirmed this, but he got irritated by some of my call-in listeners. Because first one woman called in, and I have to admit, I'm in his partial defense, I kind of hate this too. I hate when somebody says they have a question, but then they just end up making a bunch of commentary. And you find yourself saying, okay, where's your question though? So that's what happened with him first. Some woman called in, she said, I got a question. But then she just went on this long rant, and she never really asked a question. And then right after her, another woman called in and started disagreeing with his reasons that he said why men and women cheat. And right after that second call, he was like, Alan, if you don't mind, I have to take off now. And I'm like, dude, I mean, you got another 20, 25 minutes. And he was like, no, I really got to go. And he just, like, hung up. And the chat room just started dogging him out. They was like, how dare he just leave? And anyway, so that was the first person that in an interview early. Second was a woman named Sophia Nelson.
Oh, my best friend.
Yeah, your buddy. Your buddy. Well, actually, I have to say, though, she and I, we kind of made our reason. We had an exchange on Twitter about a few days ago, and she was actually very friendly, and I was very friendly back. So we both ended up saying we were going to let bygones be bygones. So I'm not going to dog her out anymore.
Well,
but at the time, it was a contentious discussion. And but
well,
anyway, she ended
bygones.
The interview about her interview about the same time, about 20 to 25 minutes early. Then the third one was that guy I already mentioned, my season finale last summer, a guy named Tony Gaskins. He hung up after Jason criticized him. And then the fourth one was Beige Fletcher. She hung up. She was supposed to be on the show for 2 hours, and she ended up hanging up at about the 55 or 1 hour mark. Then after that, I interviewed a guy named Scott Valdez. He has a site called Click Magnet Dating where you basically outsource your online dating stuff. So instead of, like, say, you going on Match.com and looking at women's profiles, you would tell him what type of women you're looking for, what type of things you might say in a message. And then he basically acts like he's you in your profile. And he looks for women that you would like, or if you're a woman, he looks for the men that you say you like. And it was an interesting concept. Then I had a guy named Yost Allard. He talked about they have this event, interesting event in Detroit area called the Divorce Expo. For people who've gotten divorced, they go to this expo. I thought that was very interesting. What did you think? Did you listen to that show, Adrian?
I think that was one of the nights I was working, so I think I just stopped in the beginning. So, no, I did not.
Love and Light, I want you to call in. I want you to call in, Love and Light. I happened to look at the chat room just now. Love and Light is a funny character in my chat room. Because one minute she says something complimentary towards me, and then the next minute she says something that's critical. And she said I was interrupting Beige that night. I would at least halfway disagree with that. But one thing you got to know as a talk radio host, and I learned this from some of the best talk, not only radio talk radio hosts, but even TV talk hosts like Oprah and Charlie Rose and different other people. It might sound like I'm being rude when I do interrupt guests at times, and admittedly I do interrupt guests at times, but I have to for time purposes. Because what I noticed early on when I first started my show, I would let people just talk, kind of talk and talk and talk. And some people are major talkers. And they'll just start talking. And I don't mind if people talk for a long time and they're on topic. When I generally tend to interrupt people is one or two times. It's either when I'm pressed for time, I know I only got so much time and I want to get to different points. Or secondly, when a guest is starting to get off topic and segue and digress into areas that we're really not talking about, then yes, that is when I'm going to interrupt people. And if people don't like that, so what? I've had a couple of guests actually after the show that told me, they said, Alan, you know, you interrupted me. But yeah, I mean, I have to. Otherwise, I would have a 5-hour show every show if I didn't interrupt people. But yeah, so I interrupted Beige, but shoot, I don't regret that at all.
Well, I think what's funny about that is that she said you kept interrupting her, but Beige wouldn't answer the question. So if she's not answering the questions, you can't interrupt her.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. The next episode I did was on March 29th. It was about BDSM and rough, kinky sex. And I had a guy, he was most interesting. I met him in Vegas. His name is James Amaro. And, man, he talked about stuff. First in Vegas, he told me about some stuff, and then on the show. I never knew that the, as they call it, the fetish world was just that deep. And it's deep. I'll give you one example. Do you know in the fetish world, there are women that actually hire men to rape them? Yes. I know you're like, get out of here. No, seriously. He told me about this. There's this one guy, that's his career. He gets paid by women. Women pay him like, I don't know, something like $5,000, if not more, to fulfill a rape fantasy. And so what he does is once they hire him, he breaks into the house and rapes them. And the thing I learned on that show is that when you do something like that, that type of erotic role play, the word no is no longer in effect. Normally women say, if I say no, that means stop. Well, when you're in the erotic role play, there's what's called a safe word. So say if I was doing fulfilling a woman's rape fantasy and we agree that the safe word is yellow roses, that's when I would stop. But if she was to just say, no, stop, no, stop, I would keep going. But if she was to say yellow roses, then I would actually stop. Yeah, it was an interesting show. Another open forum discussion was the next week, Pimps in the Pulpit, Preachers Who Are Undercover Womanizers. Man, what prompted that show is I met a woman online who told me she used to be married to a pastor. Her ex-husband, who's still to this day a preacher, not only did he sleep with women in the church while he was married to her, we ain't even talking about two or three women or five or six women. He slept with 30 women. 30 women in his church. I couldn't believe that. 30 women. Oh, wow. Then the next show was We're Just Friends, Men, Women, and Platonic Friendships. That's a topic that I've covered probably three or four times. But, yeah, that was another open forum discussion. We talked about, can a single heterosexual man and a single heterosexual woman maintain a platonic friendship without problem? Then, again, this is my most listened to show of the season. The very next episode was I did a show related to Steve Harvey's book, Think Like, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. And, yeah, it was a very interesting discussion. What are your thoughts on that episode, Adrian?
Well, I think I do act like a lady and think like a man, as you have said on numerous occasions. but I thought that show was very good. I thought it was very enlightening. All of the guests had something to contribute. At that time, I had not read the book, which I still haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie twice. And I thought it was very cute. I think there were some things in that were portrayed in the movie that were dead on and very realistic with all, was it four or five of the couples that were portrayed in the movie. So at some point I am going to go back and read the book.
Okay. Then I had another interesting open forum discussion. Well, yeah, it was open forum discussion, but I did have a guest co-host named Anvu, you spell her name A-N-H, and her last name is V-U. And we had Male Truth versus Female Truth. That was pretty entertaining. It was lightheartedly contentious at times, but, yeah, it was a good discussion. And then I had, starting with the month of May, this month, I had Women Who Love Monogamy But Frown on the Idea of Marriage. Now, that show was semi. I don't know if you remember that show. That show was semi-contentious.
No, I don't remember that show. I was there, but I think I had some other stuff going on in my household.
Yeah, I think you might have left early. Well, on that show, I had three, I don't know if I would call it three guests because it was more of an open forum discussion, but I did. I had three different women. I had one woman named Brenna, another woman named Laura, and another woman named Charlie. Now, Charlie was good. Charlie was good. That was the last woman. She broke some stuff down. But me and Brenna kind of got into it, if only on a lighthearted level, and me and Laura got into it. Brenna, we got into it because I said, I've never seen a relationship that was both long-lasting and full of erotic passion where the woman wore the pants in the relationship. And she argued with me. She said she was wearing the pants in her current relationship. And I was like, okay, have your boyfriend call in and acknowledge that. And she said he wasn't around, but I didn't believe that. I mean, I still stand by that statement. I've had women argue with that, debate that, but in my eyes, there might be some relationships that have lasted in the world, and I just don't know about them. But as far as among my friends and acquaintances, I've never seen a relationship where the woman was the dominant partner that was either A, long-lasting, and or B, that was full of erotic sexual passion. I've never seen that. Next show, I interviewed a guy who's campaigning to be ABC's first black bachelor. Going back to that other episode, the second one, we kind of got into it because she said anytime a man's in a relationship, he's powerless, that the woman has all the power. And I was like, that's some bullshit. Then I had a guy named Lamar Hurd. He's campaigning to be the first bachelor. Then I had a woman named Wendy Williams. She talked about the globalization of love. Now, what do you remember, Adrian, about Lamar Hurd and Wendy Williams?
Lamar Hurd, I did not stay on for that show. I was in the chat room, and we ended up talking about some other things. So I really didn't pay attention to that interview. You know, sometimes that happens because your chat room discussions get a little lively.
Well, the interesting thing is not so much about the discussions themselves, but that was only the second time in my 5 years on Blog to Rail. I actually did two shows in one night. I did Lamar Hurd and Wendy Williams back to back.
I do remember that. I do remember switching over. But
yeah, I did
like
Lamar
Hurd
for like an hour, and then right after that, I started a whole new show with Wendy Williams. And if my longtime listeners remember, yeah, there was actually one other time I did that. It was the week Michael Jackson died. I actually did two shows, and one I did one show about some open forum discussion topic, I think. And then I did a second show about Michael Jackson.
Right.
And then I did the benefits and drawbacks to polyamorous dating. And then just last week I did a hot show. Man, people was getting fired up. Matter of fact, Adrian, I saw you in the phone queue and you weren't able to hang on, so I'm going to ask you your opinion. What did you think about the discussion just last week about should a woman reveal details about her sexual past to a new boyfriend?
And there you go, put me on the spot. Well, as you and I have discussed before, I am not a proponent of just offering up information. As a matter of fact, I think my words were, quote, unquote, I ain't telling nobody shit. But if asked questions and asked in having conversation, if asked direct questions, I do not feel that one needs to lie. And at that point, you need to be honest.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate it. I'm going to have about three or four people that were mad at me because I had a whole bunch of people in this phone queue. And I got to talking to you, and just honestly, I lost track. And they ended up leaving, so.
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations. I have been with you on every step of the way on this journey. I think you are a wonderful host, a wonderful interviewer. I know you vacillate back and forth on whether or not you're going to continue to do the show. And I think that you should continue to do the show because I'm not going to have anything to do on Thursday nights if you get rid of the show. But I give you mad props and much kudos for continuing to do this and providing people with entertaining yet very informative relationship topics.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Much love to you, Adrian. That was my good friend, Adrian, from Columbus, Ohio. She's always in the chat room as Diva 362636. And I see another friend in my phone queue. I don't know if he's usually not up this late. Alex, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to get the little baby to sleep, but she is wide awake.
Well, he's a listener. This is another one of my most loyal listeners. And first, before I give him much love, I apologize. I got to talking to Adrian. I had some people in my phone queue. Some people were just listening, but others, they did want to say something. And I know two in particular was Mike Madison of Madison Media Radio. He's actually coming up on 5 years on Blog Talk Radio in August. And yeah, sometime in August will be his fifth year anniversary. And then another one who was holding was Alvin Hollinger, Purpose One. Alvin Hollinger, he had called in to congratulate me. So to both of those brothers, I apologize. I got to rambling, and I didn't get a chance to let them speak. But Alex, yeah, man, listeners, I give this guy on the phone line much love. He's another one that's been with me pretty much from the start. And, yeah, he's always supported me, always helped me promote my show. He tells people about my show, is always spreading the word. He knows how to get things stirred up in the chat room when he wants to. And he always knows how to call in and offer a strong opinion.
I think I kind of calmed down on the whole shit starting, but I just got one disclaimer, you know. I got to say, not just congratulations, but this five-year anniversary of the Alan Roger Curry Show has been brought to you by AT&T and by Peach Snapple.
Yeah, him and a couple other guys gave me the nickname Rev Run Chicken Wings, because I love chicken wings and Peach Snapple. And, yeah, ain't nothing I love more than those two items. But
has there been any study to show that with ever since Upfront Straightforward, Roger Curry came out, that Peach Snapple sales have gone up? And if so, where's your
I would love for somebody to do that study. I really would because, man, you know as well as I do, I've promoted Peach Snapple more than any single individual I know, particularly in a public manner. I don't know anybody who talks about peach and apple as much as I do. So, yeah, they needed to give me a cut, some kind of endorsement contract or something, because I would say almost since day one of this radio show, I've been promoting chicken wings and peach and apple.
Or a lifetime supply.
Yeah, they need to give me something, man. Shoot, man, I love some chicken wings and peach and apple. But, yeah, so before I let you go, Alex, is there any one, two, or three episodes that stand out in your mind, particularly this season, that either were on one end of the stick or the other, either a show that was just the discussion was so good that you felt like the information that was given was worthy of applause, or on the flip side, where the guest was just so bad and so full of bullshit that you wanted to curse them out?
Well, I really wanted to curse out that beige Fletcher chick, but I'm glad Adrian took care of that. And, because, you know, I haven't been able to catch a show all the way in a long time. Last week, I caught the show because I was at the hospital. I was trying to calm the baby down while we were having the show. But, yeah, the beige Fletcher show, that was one where I wish I had called in to give her a piece of my mind, but she already hung up. And last week, that was pretty interesting, even though we kind of, to some degree, kind of ganged up on Renee. So it was an intellectual gangbang without condom. It was a little rough, but, you know, it was still good.
You know, Renee ended up being a good sport. I actually talked to her after the show, and she didn't feel too bad. Yeah, so, all right, yeah, man. Well, again, man, I just thank you for your support and your encouragement and even teaching me little tricks like how to save a chat room log and whatnot. And yeah, you always give me my episodes a plug every Thursday on Facebook. So
my pleasure.
So yeah, man. Much love to you and your new addition. Let me give you some official love right here. All right, brother, you take care of yourself.
All right, man. You too.
Okay. I see one more number. I don't know if this person is just listening or if they want to say something. I think I know who this is. Is this Crystal?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
You're just listening. Okay, go ahead and say congratulations on 5 years, Alan.
Congratulations on 5 years, Alan.
And give me a nice, sexy Mo One.
Mo One.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
You're up front and straightforward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Mo
Mo Mo One.
Yes, listeners, that became a staple of my show, the Mode One, me getting most of my guests to say Mode One. I had at least one guest, though, if not two, that refused to say it. I couldn't believe it. One guy, he was my guest on my season finale last summer. He refused to say it. He said it would drop down his swag quotient. Then I had another woman, initially she refused to say it, but then I think later on in the show, she ended up saying it. But I'm getting ready to wrap up. I just want to say once again to all my listeners, you know, much love, much respect to you. Let me go ahead and give out the shout out of those still in my chat room. I saw my good friend, the Lovologist. He had a show on Blog Talk Radio for at least, I want to say, 2 years. And his claim to fame was, I ain't going to lie, I was jealous at the time, man. There's what's called featured status. If you notice, if you look on Blog Talk Radio, some hosts will have a status that says featured. That means that the Blog Talk Radio staff is basically saying they believe you have a quality show, a show that's worth listening to, and a show that's worth being promoted. Of all the people I've been friends with, he was the quickest one to get. He got quicker than me because I started my show in June of 2007. I don't think I got a feature status until March or April of 2008. LaValle just started his show, I think, in January 2008. And by like February, March of 2008, he had feature status. But he deserved it. He deserved it because he used to have a lot of people. When it came to chat room users, man, this guy used to have, like, literally, like, anywhere from 75 to over 100 people in his chat room nightly. He used to do a show on Sunday nights. But I see him in the chat room. I see Saying It Plain in my chat room. Lord Lust is still in my chat room. Yanni Brown, much love to you, sister. Keep doing your thing. Gina, much love to you. Keep teaching people about tantric sex. Gina, yeah, she taught me a lot about tantric sex. Hitman, my good friend, thank you for your support. The guests that are in the chat room, thank you for your support. Alex, a.k.a. Don Calypso, thank you. Adrian, who just recently left, thank you. Apple Capital Group, thank you. Aaron, I didn't know you were in here. Aaron 2213, thank you for your support, man. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it. And number 46526 in my chat room. Until next week. Next week I will have a gentleman by the name of Ron Williams. Ron Williams will be on my show next week. And he has a book called The Business Plan. The Business Plan for Women is helping, going to help women find their ideal companion. It's a thick book, man. The book's like over 350 pages. So he's going to be on my show next week. Until, wait, uh-oh, I see 678. 678, who's this?
Oh, you could have ended the show, Al.
What's up, LaValleges? What's up, brother?
Man, I just wanted to call and just say, you know what? I'm proud of you, bro.
Thank you.
5 years is a long time, man, and I just wanted to say congratulations to you and much love to you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, brother.
And one last little laugh here real quickly. When you had, what was her name, Crystal, that was just on the line, and you asked her to do the whole mode one. Mm-hmm. I remember when you debuted that. That had me cracking up. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember the exact show where I did debut that. But, yeah, at first it was kind of like a spontaneous thing. And then
exactly.
What happened, I saw the chat room would always react to it. They would say, you know, act like they just loved it. So I said, I'm going to start doing this with every episode. I haven't done it with exactly every episode, but at least I want to say 80 to 85% of my episodes I've done the mode one. But yeah, man, brother, I appreciate you. And this is fitting that, you know, I'll close out on you because we go way back. You were, because I met you around the time when I restarted my show, because I was telling the guys earlier, there was like a 3 or 4 month period in late 2007 where I didn't do any shows. And then I restarted my show in early January of 2008. And I want to say you started around that time, somewhere around mid, late January, early February of 2008.
It was mid-January 2008. That's when I started.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you were around at the beginning, man. So, again, man, thank you for calling in, and thank you for the kudos. Much appreciated.
Much love to you, Alan. You take it easy, all right?
You too.
All right, though.
All right, listeners, that's it for tonight. Take care. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Love you guys.